I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on match day 2 of the new SPFL season. We saw Rangers at Hampden for the first time, beating Motherwell ahead of Champions League action tomorrow. Celtic continue their impressive start, winning at Hibs, with St Johnstone and Dundee also impressing. And Bojan Miovski says his Aberdeen goodbyes ahead of a potential £7 million move to Girona. Just like the show fee on offer for these two tonight, you're joined by Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Well, it was a weekend of surprises, Gordon. Match day 2 in the Premiership. Who'd have thought Dundee 3-0 up in Hearts at half time? Who'd have thought St Johnstone 3-0 winners at Kilmarnock? Who'd have thought Papagai and Vicente Bejuan would be among Aberdeen's scorers in their win? Who'd have thought Hugh Keevans would call it right on Václav Černý? And who'd ever have thought Andy Halliday would be miserable at Rangers winning at Hampden?
That's a good point. It's good to have you back. New season.
It's lovely.
Married man. Good to have. Feeling different?
No, not too much. It's just that I've missed you guys. It's been a while. Yeah, being married seems a wee bit weird. I think even weirder was the fact that I bumped into an avid Clyde One Super Scoreboard listener, and the first question he asked me was in the intimate 20 man guest list if Hugh Keevans made the cut. I had to reassure him, no, he just missed it. He'd have been 21.
I was going to say he was 21st for
I'll
sure.
I'll tell you something, if you'd had a scramble, he'd have been there.
Fighting off Gordon DL for sure.
If I was inviting anyone, it would have been you for your Tony Orlando to kick a party off.
He could have been the entertainment. That is a very, very good point. Anyway, 0141 951 1025, that's the number. As always, I love Monday nights because there's just so much to look back on, whether it's the good stuff from the weekend, the bad stuff. Is there any controversial stuff, any surprises, players that caught your eye, players that aren't doing enough? Add that to the fact that it's still very much in the midst of the transfer window and every team's looking to try and do a bit more, and names like Adam Ida and Matt O'Reilly we will still discuss, I'm sure. And then Champions League and European qualification action tomorrow and through the rest of the week. So much going on. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now, Rangers fans. It was a win at Hampden. Is that all that mattered? Were there elements of the performance that didn't excite you? Who caught the eye in a good sense? Who's not doing enough? Celtic fans looking impressive, certainly first half, added to the game against Kilmarnock last week. So again, what's standing out for you? We'd love to hear from any St Johnstone or Dundee fans. Maybe you were the surprise winners, no offence, at the weekend. But whatever it is, 0141 951 1025. And to set the tone, results of the weekend, what are we going for?
I'll touch it, I'll go for Dundee. 3-0 up at half time, finished 3-1 against Hearts. A fantastic display by Tony Docherty's side. Scott Tiffany excelling, Mo Sylla in the middle of the park excelling, Luke McCowan scoring another penalty. It all seemed to go right for Dundee and it all seemed to go wrong for the Jambos.
I think for any team outside the Old Firm, it's difficult. I went to win away from home in this league, no more so than the comfortable victory that St Johnstone managed to get against that. You've got to say a Kilmarnock team that everyone fancies to be comfortable top six candidates before the end of the year. But I think when you've got that front two, Asidibe and Kimpionka, you've always got a chance. So yeah, they're my result of the weekend.
Biggest away win in the league for 6 years, I believe.
That's why certainly never seen that coming.
Good start, I like that. Okay, goal of the weekend. A few good contenders, I have to say.
I've went for Callum McGregor, fresh off his retiring for international football. I think there was a lot of extra eyes on him, seeing him obviously given that big news throughout the week. But I thought he'd be not only to put in a fantastic performance, but the bonus of 25 yard wonder strike's not too bad.
If I didn't pick Václav Černý, I would be getting texts from the Nokia of Hugh Keevans. First start for Rangers, first goal for Rangers, a flashing finish off the far post, and he looks, as you said, as you predicted, it looks a good signing.
I mean, a good goal, admittedly, but any of the Motherwell midfielders think about you know, closing them down at any point? Or?
Oh, was it midfielder's fault?
Just checking.
To close down a right winger? I'm not sure.
Listen, just thought it was easier to blame
it was
you.
Andy to put him through.
He wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot of space, if you ask me.
It was in far too much space.
We'll let that go for now. Howler of the weekend, that's more interesting.
Well, in this game, Gordon, one day you're a peacock, the next you're a feather duster. Performance of last week, Miller Thompson of Dundee United. Howler of this week, Miller Thompson of Dundee United. I was at Dingwall on Saturday.
Amazing.
I had hardly taken my seat. 10 seconds in, Jort van der Sande around the goalie, squared it, open goal, and they're still looking for the ball.
If MD's not seen it, seek it out. 10 seconds. The man is not exaggerating. Straight from kickoff, an incredible miss. Who's getting your howler?
Well, what was that about feather dust on peacock? Because I've got quite, I think it's a good analogy to describe the guy I'm giving my howler. I thought if I was sitting here last Monday, my performer of the weekend would have been Gerald Taylor.
Oh, no.
And I think fast forward 7 days, he's getting my howler of the week because poor performance overall, a howlery attack in the first 15 minutes, but then an own goal that you would more look like you were seeing a Sunday morning down the park, because, I mean, really, really poor from someone who was absolutely outstanding on his league debut last week.
A great example of why you shouldn't go too early. The Clyde One Super Scoreboard Saturday team fell in love with him at Tynecastle last week.
Listen, I was on board with it. I thought it looked unbelievable.
We were getting him multi-million pound moves all over the place.
Can you just imagine
on Saturday?
I've had a howler. You've had a howler. And Joe Wright hasn't had a mention.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, that is a good shout. We'll just throw him
I think there was a fair few candidates, to be honest with you, going into the weekend.
He's escaped. Kilmarnock fans, 2 yellows in 16 minutes. Yeah. A challenge like that when you're already on a yellow. He's a lucky boy to get out the howling category this weekend. All right, top performer then, end on a high, a positive as always. Top man over the weekend.
I'm going to go Conor Barron. It wasn't the most glamorous signing for Rangers going into this transfer window, but I think for me so far he's looked like the most impressive. I thought he was really good again at the weekend. I think he's fitted into that midfield really well. I think he's striking up a good understanding and partnership with Diamandé in there. And for me, I thought he was very, very good at the weekend. I think he has been since he came through the door.
I could easily have gone Callum McGregor. What a difference it makes when you quit Scotland. Great performance, but Andy's already given him the goal, so my performer will be 2-goal Adama Sidibe of St Johnstone down at Kilmarnock yesterday.
Can't grumble with that. 01419511025. Let's get stuck in then. Andy Halliday, as we discussed, playing at Hampden for Motherwell against Rangers, so a good eyewitness there. If any of you Motherwell or Rangers fans want to get in touch, any questions about the game, about the performance, about the Hampden factor, anything at all, get them into us. Saturday's show phone-in was interesting because, yes, Rangers won the game, but wow, a lot of criticism about that second half performance. So whatever you're thinking ahead of tomorrow night, pick up the phone right now. But we're going to kick off with events at Easter Road yesterday by the looks of it, because Thomas is a Celtic fan. What did you make of it, Thomas?
We were absolutely flawless again, Gordon. You know, obviously, the first half, you scored 3, 4, 5 goals. No, I mean, it's just if you took more of your chances. But, you know, as I say, we were absolutely brilliant. I figured I fell away. But I think we're just going to be too strong this year. I think if you get another couple of signings in, I don't know what's going to help me out of the media. I don't know whether he'll come or no, I don't. I'm kind of 50-50 in that one, but obviously if we get a couple more players in it, I don't think we could be touched this year.
Yeah, what did you make of Celtic yesterday?
I think the best thing, I don't know where Thomas Legree is, at various stages of the two league games so far, different players have shown. You know, last week against Kilmarnock, Hatate looked terrific, O'Reilly looked terrific. Yesterday at Easter Road, it was Callum McGregor that led the way. Nicholas Coon has scored goals in both games. Kyogo has looked sharp in both games. James Forrest teed up that first goal for Nicholas Coon yesterday. Dyson Maeda fit again, coming back off the bench for the first time this season yesterday. So I think going forward, Brendan Rodgers will be delighted at the way that front six has sort of shared the burden, if you like. And it's difficult to say anything about the back, because the back four and Kasper Schmeichel have hardly had anything to do in the first two games. So I think it's pluses all over the park.
I think people went into this season having Celtic favourites anyway, Andy. It's not like that's a big surprise, but Thomas is thinking even after 2 weeks, you know, stopping them is going to be particularly tough.
Yeah, I think so. You try and not read too much into pre-season in terms of results or performances, with a lot of boys not quite up to speed yet. But you look at Celtic with some of the performances, more so than the results that they put in over the sort of pre-season period against really, really tough teams. Having watched the game, they look like a team that's a lot more fluid for me, a lot more playing at a lot more a higher tempo that makes it a very, very difficult for domestic teams to deal with. And signs of a Celtic team we've seen sort of 2 or 3 years ago that just blow teams out the water within the first 15-20 minutes with the tempo that they play at. And I think they've done that over the last couple of games. There's a lot been spoken about in terms of the sort of lack of transfer activity, but to me, I think they look like a team that's a lot more settled than they were last year. Obviously, boys playing with each other for longer periods of time, and even, you know, the likes of a Nicholas Kuhn, for example, that came under a bit of criticism last year, looks a lot more settled as well and started the season really well.
Thomas, you sound a bit unsure if Adamida is going to happen. Why is that? Just because it's taking its time?
It's dragging on. I thought maybe they'd have done something maybe at the end of the season. You know, we put them maybe up. I know it wasn't for sale, but I just think we should have put an offer on him from way before now, because it's dragging on. And obviously, it wants to come out of Parkhead, but it just seems to me just dragging on. I know I'm going to be Shankland. I mean, I know I'd love to see Shankland at Parkhead, but I'd going to be going hard and just test the resolve. Just say, look, here, £4.5 million, take it or leave it.
The thing is, Roger, I don't know if this changes that much, but when he comes on for Norwich at the weekend, like I say, that's not to say he won't end up a Celtic player, but it just makes you think it's just not quite as imminent as maybe Celtic fans would have hoped. You know, once he comes on for Norwich on Saturday, you know it's not happening Saturday night, Sunday morning, we're into Monday. Maybe it does happen, but you can understand why Thomas is just waiting to see the stereotypical scarf above the head picture.
I know what you mean. I think Norwich City had a great number of issues to deal with at the weekend. Adamida was not top of the list. I think one of his teammates, Jonathan Rowe, who's trying to earn a move to Marseille, refused to play on Saturday. So if he'd been involved, I'm not even sure Adamida would have been on the bench, but he was on the bench. He got the last half hour. They lost 2-0 to newly promoted Oxford, so it wasn't a great start for the new manager on the park. I'm still convinced Adamida will be a Celtic player by the end of the month, but it might require a little bit of patience and it might require Norwich to get a couple in.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, praising his team after that 2-0 win, but says there is still more to come.
Well, listen, result and performance was very good. Easter Road's one of the toughest places to come in Scottish football, so I thought we managed the game very well. Made a great start, which you want. Scored 2 very good goals. We're really slick in other moments in the game. So there's a lot of what I see I really, really like. We always want to improve. If I was nitpicking, I would say we have to be more clinical. We scored 2 and again could have had 4 or 5 goals.
Did, in a way, see the sort of good learning experience around Celtic yesterday, and you saw exactly what they're capable of, but then there was that little bit of room still for Brent. It's not like complacency would set in, because, you know, it was only 2, if such a thing exists, and you can see how a second half might become slightly tighter than it ought to if you don't, you know, if you don't take your chances.
Well, if Kieran Bowie's strike hits the underside of the ball and hits the back of the net, then it's a lot nervier over the last 6-7 minutes than it had to be. But listen, I thought for the most part Celtic really good, and I think he's right to sort of say they have to be a bit more efficient, a bit more clinical. I think they had Hibs on the back foot for probably 80-85% of the game without having too many opportunities, specifically the second half, especially when the first sort of 20 minutes go by and Callum McGregor sort of drills in that second. You think it's going to be a long old 90 minutes for Hibs, but I do think for the most part, to me, they'll look a lot more slick. You know, countless amount of calls we had last year in terms of Celtic being fairly comfortable in games, but a bit laboured, not quite at the tempo it was expected. But I thought they certainly were at the, specifically in the first half of the weekend.
Yeah, the bad news for Hibs is I think they're just reserving the goals for the League Cup game on Sunday at Celtic Park. I would imagine it could be a long afternoon again for David Gray and his players.
Let's go to Paul, who's on the other line. What did you have in your mind tonight, Paul?
Hi Gordon, hi guys.
Hello.
Well, I was one of the ones that was shouting for the rooftops that I didn't want Brendan Rodgers back. 100% admit it, that you went from Angie's team coming away from the game you felt like you'd played it, you were knackered. It was so exciting to the vast majority of the season last year. It was boring. It was absolutely boring. But I was wrong. I'm glad I was wrong. And actually, Sunday, they played very well last week as well. But actually, Sunday, the first half of Sunday's game, I couldn't really see the difference between the way that they did play under Ange and the way that they're playing now. What a difference a year makes. And I just think of it when I was losing the rag weight, just thinking this is terrible, blah, blah, blah. And Callum McGregor said, we've not really been, there's not that much a change between the two styles. But it must be players getting more comfortable with each other, getting fitter. I mean, Nicholas Coon looks like he's put a bit of stone on. I thought they were brilliant. That first half is as good as the first half as I can remember.
What is different this season from Celtic so far, based on what you've seen?
Tempo and intensity 100%. But watching them, I think they make a lot more sacrificial runs. People running in behind, people running off the ball, making it very, very difficult for teams to get set and try and frustrate them and stay in their structure. And I just always think when they get into the final third, they make teams defend. You know, Celtic aren't really, you know, for a team that get in the final third so often, you don't really see Celtic whip in 30, 40 crosses a game. They more come out, they circulate, they make the team, make the opposition move, and then they look for their little darts in behind and their little slip passes and get teams disjointed. And I think that's something they've done very, very well in pre-season and in the first two games. I think if you sort of put that in contest to obviously playing against Rangers at the weekend there, you know that they're going to put a lot of crosses into the box. And I think sometimes that suits certain teams. You know, Hibs, they've got two big boys at the back. But what they don't want is they don't want Kyogo and Nicholas Coon and Hitati and O'Reilly running in channels, running behind them, sort of making the team shape, if you like, a bit disjointed. And I think it's very, very difficult for teams domestically to deal with it. And I think that showed over the first couple of games.
Incredible similarities, actually, with Nicholas Coon, Paul, because a few of our pundits have put on a stone over the summer to try and...
That must be a good thing. I think Nicholas Coon's looked better than what we've seen in flashes last year.
Try and so boost their beat the pundit performances. Funnily enough, he did say that, if you remember, when he arrived, he had dental work, he lost a lot of weight. His first start was at Easter Road. Do you remember at the Adamida double penalties night, and he looked a bit off it, let's say that. Are we now seeing the best of him or the start of it?
I was just going to say, Paul, don't take this the wrong way. I think it's helped that Celtic don't have any new signings. They look like a team who have been together now for a year. They've learned what the manager wants. They've learned how to play brain ball, if you like. They've grown together. They've had that success at the end of last season together, winning the league, winning the Scottish Cup. They've come back together. They've been in America in pre-season together. They know each other so well. They know each other's games so well. And they've just picked up where they left off. It's not a case that there's, you know, many signings in Motherwell made in the summer, Andy. 8 or 10. There's not 8 or 9 players coming in trying to learn, you know, how Callum McGregor likes the ball fed into him, and, you know, where to play a pass to Nicholas Coon, or how Brendan wants this done or wants that done. They've just clicked because they all know each other so well.
And another thing they've got is they've got bodies available. They've got people fit, which quite wasn't the case for a large part of last year.
Is it all good, Paul? Is it all feel good, or is there that niggling thing about the transfer window still there in the background?
I'd like to see Ida come in. And again, I think people, even if they get him in, people will moan because it's nobody knew. But they could always improve. I mean, I would actually like to see two strikers come in for backup, and the Champions League draw is still to come. But people moaned when Celtic went for Ida because, why are they going for a guy from Norwich? People sit, pay, the English Premier League teams play tens of millions for guys with the same division as Norwich. So I think he will come in. I think we're just doing our usual, trying to squeeze the most out of it, and I don't know, try to put add-ons on and stuff, but I think he'll come in.
We probably saw yesterday, Lou Roger, just the numbers bit, the bit that nobody can really disagree with. I'll leave it to the Celtic fans to say what they need to take them to the next level or whatever. Kyogo went down a few times yesterday, and you could sense the nervousness. And when Celtic eventually do change him, it's not for a striker. So that there's just a simple numbers game there before you get to anything else.
If you remember, at the end of the Kilmarnock game last Sunday, he got clattered by Robbie McCrory and it took him a couple of minutes to get up and just square himself up. I spoke to Brendan Rodgers after the game and he sort of brushed it off a wee bit, but I don't think he could brush it off yesterday because Kyogo's actually had to come off. The shoulder's gone again. Now, I know this is an injury he's had for a period of time. He manages it. He gets through games. He seldom misses games with it. But as you say, the numbers game. If Kyogo was even to miss one game, two games, at the minute, who plays through there? Michael Johnson get thrown on, get injured again and came off. Dyson Maida would be the obvious option, but Celtic needs strikers and Paul's right, maybe needs two of them.
Thank you, Paul. 0141 951 1025. Now is a good time to call. What about Hamden on Saturday? We've spent all summer debating that news and did it have any impact on the team or the teams involved. What did you make of Hamden at the weekend? Andy Halliday can give us his inside track. Rangers fans, where is the balance between being happy at the 3 points but not satisfied with the second half performance? How does it set you up for tomorrow's qualifier? We'll hear from Philippe Clement and you after these.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheese steaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. Give us a call, please. Right now would be a good time. We're going to hear from Philippe Clement. We'll get Andy's take on the game at Hampden, what it was like to play Rangers at Hampden in a league game. Did it make any difference? Because we had a good old debate about that over the last few days. What was the performance like? Rangers fan, you got the 3 points on the board. So do give us a call. We'll hear from Richie first though. He's a Celtic fan from East Kilbride. Impressed with yesterday, Richie?
Yeah, absolutely. Evening panel, how are we doing? All right?
Good, hi, Richie.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a few points, obviously, moving forward. As a Celtic fan, absolutely delighted with how Celtic performed yesterday. However, I think there's quite a number of weaknesses still within the team that need to be filled. I just want to know how the panel feels. Speaking from a Celtic fan, obviously, that this is just history repeating itself year in, year out. That we seem to be dragging our heels and getting signings across the board. Now, we were talking about Adam Eder coming up. I know he was on the bench at the weekend for Norwich. But surely, as a club with Celtic stature and its finances, that this should have been done. We need a left-back to obviously challenge Greg Taylor. Liam Scales, yeah, well, he's a bit suspect, to be honest with you. The guy deal, we had a wee bit of sort of strength within that sort of area. Two midfielders, and the fact that Kyogo got obviously a wee knock yesterday. I just want to know what the panel's opinion is and why Celtic can't seem to get business done under Peter Lowe.
So just quickly on that though, Richie, so the fact that it's going so well on the pitch at the moment is doing nothing to change this for you? You know, is it all just two completely separate things?
No, I think, to be honest with you, I mean, you look at it, I mean, the bread and butter is obviously winning the Premier League, obviously the Scottish Premier League. But as Roger said when he came back, he's wanting to challenge in Europe. So for us to move forward as a sort of entity in Europe, then we need to start bolstering in areas where we've obviously got weaknesses. And surely Peter Lowe, obviously the hand obviously over the top of things that's going on, should be able to foresee that. The next challenge for us is obviously Champions League, and I just don't understand why we can't seem to get business done early then hit the ground running.
I'm sure the party line is that Peter Lowell is now the chairman of the Celtic board and isn't in control of these things, but frankly, I don't have the patience for that debate
I know this is hard to believe. I actually don't think he does. You know, I think Michael Nicholson does have Richie's point would be 100% fair if we're sitting here on the 1st of September and there are no more deals. And we spoke before the show, Richie, actually, we're sitting having a cup of tea, and it's been a bizarre window transfer-wise right through the summer. Liverpool, under a new manager, Arne Slot, haven't signed a player. Now, Manchester City, I think, have sold players for the region. Somebody said about £145 million. They've only got one striker and one holding midfield player. Now, it's ridiculous to think that Liverpool and Manchester City won't do something about all of that before September the 1st, or whenever the window shuts this time, Gordon. I would think Celtic will do something about probably all the things you mentioned there, Richie. Wouldn't surprise me if it was a left-back, a centre-back, two strikers in. I think if Matt O'Reilly goes, I think there'll be another midfielder in as well. I think there will be a lot of activity at Celtic Park before the end of the window. But, you know, football fans, football journalists like me, Richie, unlike you, we don't really have great patience in things like this. But I think the Celtic fans will need to be patient, because the way this window is moving for all clubs, I think everything's just going to be jammed in more than ever before to the last few days.
Certainly, and I totally agree with what you're saying, but one thing I will challenge to the panel and to the show is that I still think that Peter Lowell has got the final say in what goes on at the club, and a bigger sort of platform that people actually realise, to be honest with you.
You may know something I don't. It was just for sort of accuracy purposes. And then the danger happens. You've got a big weekend to look back on. You've Champions League football with the transfer window, and then we start arguing for the next 2 hours about what part Peter Lowell plays in Celtic's transfer. At some point you kind of have to admit, I don't know for sure. And Richie can have his theories about it. Andy, where are you on this in terms of Roger's right, I guess, overall, but you can still see where fans like Richie are a bit frustrated.
Yeah, definitely. It always seems to be when there is sort of major international tournaments that the market for everyone does tend to be a little bit slow. And I think when you look at, you know, Celtic's clear priority going into the summer had to be a goalkeeper, and it went a couple of weeks where nothing really got talked about, and you think, what's going on there? Then obviously when the Euros was out the way, Kasper Schmeichel obviously comes in the door. But the one that is slightly more bemusing is the Adamida. You did think, going off the sort of end of last season, that would have been something that would have been done pretty quickly. They would have got that over the line, they would have got them in, and then you're talking about integrating these players in pre-season, all these games and all these trading, and the way they want Brendan Rodgers' team to look this year, the fact that that's dragged on so long, and then you see him obviously coming off the bench for Norwich at the weekend is a bit bemusing. But I wouldn't be too surprised, to be honest, to think that Celtic might have a bit more of a priority in getting two or three out the door first, because Celtic squad from the outside looking in looks very, very big in terms of the actual numbers they have in the first team
Palmer
squad.
Is not on the bench yesterday?
He's injured, is he? For a couple of weeks, right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised that over the next couple of weeks that, you know, Adamida's one that comes in the door, and then that other position that sort of Richie spoke about, that left-back sort of slot, starts to get a few rumours flying about.
Okay, Richie, we'll see what happens between now and the end of the month. I don't think we've heard the end of this. You make some fair points. That was Richie in East Kilbride. Let's go back a bit further then to Saturday. Motherwell fans, Rangers fans, what did you make of it? Was there a Hampden factor? What did that look like? Maybe you were there, you want to just share your experiences, performance, the points picked up by Rangers, anything else, get your calls in right now. Here is Philippe Clement. He's taking a lot of positives. He thinks the only downside was not winning by more.
I saw very positive things today. We started excellent, with good football, with good running actions, with the right choices on the ball. And then you need a little bit luck to score early, what was not the case, because we had two, three chances in the first minutes already. But we keep on playing with a good tempo on the ball, not giving away transitions. Then you get one moment across in the box where you have the worst scenario that you can have. One defender touches the ball, the other defender touches the ball, and the ball goes really in the corner of the goal that Jack cannot save. So it was really an unlucky goal to get against, but it didn't create any doubt in the team to get a victory. The only thing we missed today, I think, is to score a third or fourth goal, what we deserved to make, and then you kill the belief more for the opponent. And now, they have the feeling they stay in the game, and you get long throw-ins and long balls and fights for second balls, where you need to see that your windows, that not one ball drops bad, and you lose points because of that.
Well, you were there. You were right in the thick of it. What was your take on it all?
Top Rangers started the game very well. I think his assessment in that part is correct. Thought they looked very, very dangerous in the first 30 minutes, specifically down the right-hand side. That sort of trio of Diamande, Cherny and Tav, I thought, causes all sorts of problems in the first 30 minutes. I think they also played at a tempo that made it very, very difficult to deal with. But I thought there on in, I think anyone that watched it wouldn't have been overly impressed with Rangers' second-half performance. You know, it felt, as the second half grew, And towards the last sort of 15 and 20 minutes, we were in the ascendancy, and if anyone was going to get a goal, it was going to be us. But that being said, I don't think we created enough to then go and get that second goal. I think that one real moment that we had was obviously that the volley for Zach Robinson that pulls out a brilliant save from a brilliant keeper. Obviously, if Lennon's chance in the first 5 minutes goes in, and listen, if I'm picking two or three players within the squad for that chance to fall to Lennon's one of them, his technical ability and his composure. It might have been a different game, but nah, I thought Rangers started the game very well, but I don't think they were overly impressive in the second half.
Let's bring in Charlie, who's a Rangers fan. How do you feel about the performances, Charlie?
I'm not too happy at all with Rangers at all, because beating Motherwell for 2-1, you know what I mean?
No offence, Sandy.
At the end of the day, because you're as bored, I think it's always been as bored, right? So I started when Gerrard was there, right? Gerrard was sitting next to Dave King, Gerrard turned around and says to this man will back me up, right? And he did back him up. He won one of the championships while he was there, right? And then Dave King left, right? Gerrard was left, and then Gerrard, I don't know what he was thinking about, he left and all. So I believe if Dave King would have been still there, and he would have stayed, and would have maybe won another championship at least. So that was all starting with that. And then this board, they just keep going from one thing to another. I was even at the game in Bring Me, because what happened with me was I was meant to get a pass for the car park, for the disabled car park. And my friend who has got a computer, he was the one that organised it all for me. I wouldn't have knew nothing about nothing, because he didn't even send me a letter, phone me, nothing to tell me anything about the game, right? So I got him to organise it for me. And what happened was he got me two tickets, right? I got the two tickets. And then I went away out and I come back and I'm with a card in the door turning around saying it's special delivery. So I had to go away. I went away to try and get this pass and the post office was shut. So what I had to do was wait till the next, see if they would deliver it the next day. Delivered the pass the next day at 1 o'clock, and I had no time to get to the game. And so even the next, as I say, they'll not send me any notification, anything. I just believe that they're just making one blunder after another.
I think we did say over the weekend that a lot of sympathy for sort of individual logistical issues that have come about, you know, because of the move to Hampden. I do genuinely have real sympathy with it, and it's sort of difficult really for us to know what that process is like or how it could be improved or whatever. But I think what you're also seeing from Charlie is just an overall sort of malaise, if that's the right word, or just a bit scunnered, to use a better Scottish expression.
There was a lot of negativity surrounding Rangers throughout the summer, mainly because of the problems at Ibrox, but also I think fueled by some of the comments of Philip Clement when he was talking about having no money, having to sell before they could buy, everyone was for sale apart from the goalkeeper, they couldn't compete with this squad in the Champions League. So the whole package led to a lot of negativity among the fan base. You've seen it in this show, Gordon, lots of calls worried about the season. Start with a draw at Tynecastle, not terrible. I remember Dick Advocaat going to Tynecastle with a multi-million pound squad and losing in the first day. Ange Postecoglou went to Tynecastle, lost in the first day. So 0-0 at Tynecastle, not terrible. 1-1 in Lublin against Dynamo Kiev was quite positive, I think, you know, snatching one at the end. And listen, they've beaten Motherwell. I'm not going to offend Andy or you. I remember Motherwell winning at Ibrox in February. So beating Motherwell is a decent start. You just feel, though, that it really is baby steps from this Rangers team, and you feel that they need to keep a level of performance going, because every game seems to be a challenge. Tomorrow night is phenomenally important for Rangers in terms of money and in terms of prestige. They need to get past Dynamo Kiev and into this playoff round against Salzburg at 20. And you see St Johnstone at Kilmarnock on Saturday. Beyond that, it's Rangers against St Johnstone in the Premier Sports Cup on Saturday night. Sidibe, Kimpioka, you said it yourself, Andy, they'll cause defences problems. Every game seems to be a challenge for Rangers at the minute.
What do you make of criticisms of Rangers' performance, Andy? This is a real interesting position for you to be in, because you played against them and they did win the game, But you're also here with your pundit's hat on, as you often are, just kind of commenting on the shape of Rangers in particular.
I watched every game they had over pre-season. Watched the game last week against Hearts. I watched them in Kiev. And to be honest, I think for the most part they have looked poor. I think they've looked poor in possession. I think they've looked poor out of possession. I actually thought the game against Kiev on Tuesday, I think it's the best they've looked in and out of possession, even though there was quite a lot of sort of basic unforced errors. But I thought for the most part, I thought they were good. Going into a team that everyone thought was going to be a right outfit, considering they'd won 9-2 in the previous round. But I thought Rangers were really, really comfortable in the game. And like I said, I thought they started the game really well, first 30 minutes. But second half, you always feel when you're away to Celtic, when you're away to Rangers and you're down, you know that they're going to really put their foot in the pedal to go and push that for that third goal, that fourth goal, and try and match a big performance as well as the result. But you just got the sense that it got to the point where they were almost just trying to hold on to what they had in the 2-1. Like I said, I felt we were the ones that were in the sort of ascendancy the last sort of 15, 20, 25 minutes, although not sort of filled with loads of chances on our end. I agree with Roger going into the game tomorrow night against Kiev. It's just of utmost importance that the Rangers try and get through it. And they've spoken about trying to get bodies out the door before they bring in, but I don't think they're, to me, the way they're going about that, I don't think's overly impressive either, coming out and telling people that Cantwell's desperate to leave and he's asked to leave, and then playing Hadji in the B team. It's just straight away, I think you're just decreasing these players' values already. So I think there's some baffling stuff that you've seen from the outside looking in. But most importantly is obviously performances and results, and I really need one tomorrow.
Thank you to Charlie. Hopefully you get your issues sorted, Charlie, for the next game. Hopefully it all works out, smooths itself over. Can't be easy, but we appreciate you taking the time. 01419511025. What did you make of the performance at Hampden? What are your theories on the Hampden factor? Does it make a difference? Does it impact Rangers positively, negatively? We had a bit of a debate over the weekend. Wonder how you feel about that. Give us a call if you went and you experienced it, or if you just managed to watch at home. What did you make of the performance? How does it set things up ahead of tomorrow night? Call us right now whilst I tell you about this. Cash register with winhappy.com. Yes, a new week means a new cash register amount to win, paid into your bank straight after the call. You don't want to miss out because it is the biggest prize of the year so far, £280,000. Text yes to 61025. Text of £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only and the entries since we opened the lines on the 22nd of July have rolled over. All the rules for this Rail Network competition can be found on our website. The lines close at 5pm on Friday, so don't miss out. Answer your phone within five rings. Tell us the cash register amount, £280,000, and it would go into your bank straight after the call. But only if you text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here on the usual number. We're tapping into Andy's experience of playing in that Rangers Motherwell game at the weekend. So why don't you join in as a fan? What was it like to go along? Do you think it impacted the football match? Was Rangers' performance a worry, or is that stuff over exaggerated and it's all about the 3 points? How does it set things up for Champions League qualification tomorrow? Call us right now, 01419511025. Tweet from Craig: the Hampden experience from a Rangers supporter, no issue entering the stadium, allocated seat at a decent view. I don't buy the advantage disadvantage argument, however the acoustics were different. This was a nod to a caller on Friday who said the acoustics would be different and it might impact things. You have had all summer to think about going there and what impact that might have on a football match. What was it like? What did you think it would be like? How did it?
I've never been a huge fan of playing at Hampden in general, to be honest with you, but it did feel slightly different in terms of being an advantage or a disadvantage. I think it's hard to say, but what I will say is, Ibrox for Rangers, I think we've seen the best of Rangers in European football over the last 4 or 5 years, and I do think that sort of fortress that they've made Ibrox has been a big factor in that. So it'll be interesting to see tomorrow if that's the sort of same feeling. But at the end of the day, it's going to be filled with 99% of Rangers fans that turn up to Ibrox in these European nights. So I still think they'll have that advantage of the home crowd, but massive game. It'll be interesting to see what team they put out as well. I think Rangers have been crying out for a right winger for about 5 years, Roger. I really do, and I do think they found one in Vaclav Chernyi. I was very impressed with him at the weekend, so it'll be interesting to see if he's fit enough to go again tomorrow.
Hard to hammer this point when you went and Rangers did win the game, but I'm just trying to get into the mindset. When that fixture was coming up, did you think in advance that you had more of a chance of a result at Hampden than you would have at Ibrox?
Nah, I wouldn't say so. You know it's going to be difficult at all.
No, that's what I mean. It's not that you think you're going to win.
Nah, personally, no. I wouldn't say we've got a right chance because it's at Hampden over Ibrox. I wouldn't say so.
You don't think it played out in any way? Just
not for me. No.
Yeah, I suppose it's difficult, Roger, because if it comes mid-season and say Rangers are flying, then they move stadium and they stop, you can maybe look at it as a factor, but it's so early in the season anyway, and I don't think in the eyes of the Rangers fans they're pulling up any trees anyway.
No, absolutely not. And this is a really important time for Rangers. As we say, you cannot overstate the importance of beating Dynamo Kiev and then getting through that playoff round. It's huge for Rangers in terms of prestige, as Philip Clement said today, and it's absolutely enormous in terms of finance for Rangers, because Clement hasn't hidden from the fact that he doesn't have the money he would like to go and bolster that squad. If he could get past Kiev and get past the playoff round, then he might get some of that money and he might be able to bolster the squad, and that would help Rangers in all the competitions that they're involved in.
Václav Černý would have been the obvious positive, and he scored a very good goal. One of you gave it your goal of the weekend. Was he tough to play against, or what did you make of him up close?
Yeah, really intelligent football player in terms of the sort of positions he takes up. Keeps maximum width at times and likes to go 1v1, but you know, finds the sort of pockets of space that he did for Rodgers' goal of the weekend. And quite an elegant football player. I think you can see that if you just watch him, even if he's for the analysis you do during the week, you watch all these clips, you see, you know, he's all left footed, he wants to cut in his left foot. You can see for the cross that he puts in at Dynamo Kiev, but it's easier stopping it than it is sort of watching it on a screen. To me, I think in the very short space of time that we've seen him, I think he's looked very impressive. And I thought he, for me, was one of Rangers' standouts at the weekend there. And it's interesting, you're talking about Rangers' sort of lack of threat in the second half of the last sort of 30 minutes might coincide with, well, obviously that was when Vaclav Černý leaves the pitch. So I think I think Rangers will do it tomorrow, but I think for Rangers' point of view, you would certainly want him on the pitch going into the game tomorrow.
It's what the kids call the numbers, Gordon. Part of the criticism of Rangers' wingers recently has been their numbers. They don't score enough goals. They don't create enough goals. Černý teed up Cyril Dessers for that late equaliser in Lublin, and then in his first start scores a goal. So if he continues at that rate, he will immediately elevate himself high above the rest of the Rangers' wingers.
I suppose not a debut to remember for Robin Proper. He don't want to score an own goal. There's obviously a school of thought that it's just bad luck. There's nothing you can do about it. Then the other view would be that, you know, you can always do something about it from a defensive point of view. But what was your take? I mean, we saw Gerald Taylor's fairly comical one for Hearts. What was the Rangers one for you?
I'm within touching distance of Andy, because, you know, I think Robin Proper's now Motherwell's top scorer, and John Souter's now had most assists for Motherwell.
Fair point.
It was sort of one of those days, there's nothing they can do. It's actually a good ball in, actually, but in Seddon from the left hand side, and Souter doesn't really deal with it, and there's absolutely nothing. I mean, what a finish that is from Robin Proper. He never scored another goal in his life.
Some TB. Listen, I think it's difficult. I think the ball comes at a fair amount of pace. It's one of them where you try and readjust your steps and try and adjust your feet, but I think it was difficult for him. And, you know, chances are when it sort of hits off your toe, you want it to go anywhere but the bottom corner, because even if it's sort of a yard to the left, you fancy Jack Burton to dive low and make that save. But, you know, it was obviously unlucky for him that it's managed to flash into the bottom corner. But what I will say is that I thought he showed a lot of composure on the ball. I don't think he had to do too much defending the first 60 minutes before he came off the pitch, but I think on the ball he looked a lot more composed than what we've seen recently. I thought it wasn't an outstanding debut, but you can sort of see flashes there.
And they'll play, won't they, because it looks as if Balligan's injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they'll play tomorrow night.
Is this where depth becomes the issue and wanting more, and the caller on saying about the board and backing the manager? Because there have been signings made. You've just said that Rangers' best player was Conor Barron. He's a new signing. Next after that was probably Černý, and he goes and scores a goal. So it's not as if they're getting them all wrong.
Yeah.
But is it just not enough at the moment then? Is that why the levels aren't
I don't think so, personally. No, I'd be really surprised if they don't try and actively try and get in another two or three. Again, you know, Philippe Clement's already stated that he wants sort of two or three out the door before that can happen. But I still think they look really, really light in areas. And again, you know, we all know the sort of injury troubles that Rangers had last year. You're only an injury away from a Tierney to sort of question who's going to be in that right winger slot for the rest of the season. So does that depend on their success on Kiev tomorrow night? Bodies out the door. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Philippe Clement said as much today that it does open up a different budget, so you can give us your thoughts there. But in the meantime, this is what Monday nights are all about. Let's play
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I'm looking forward to this. It is the return of real Monday night Beat the Pundit, this stuff, because you've got Andy Halliday, who finished last season with a 100% record. You've got Roger Hanna, who finished last season with such a good 100% record that he's now on -2.
The -2,
for
man.
The new season.
Andy's not happy about this. He's thinking of withdrawing his label.
I think that's really hard.
Is he offended that he's not gone on to -?
No.
I think that would have been a far better use of resources if we'd both been in -1 rather than one of us in -2.
I'm nowhere near this man's level, but I do think -2 is a big ask.
Well, we'll see.
I've asked, I was listening last week.
It's probation. We'll see.
To Beat the Pundit, thinking, how would I have done if I had been on -2?
Oh, he's in training. Would you listen to this? He's in training for -2.
I think I would have lost them all.
I guess, like, you need 10 seconds to answer two questions. So effectively, why don't you just trim his time from 30 down to 25?
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's just an experiment. We make it up as we go along here, in case you haven't noticed. But Beat the Pundit is here. You need to call before 7 o'clock, 0141 951 1025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are in the building, and we're reacting to the weekend's biggest news. So 0141 951 1025. We started off, many fans waxing lyrical about Celtic's performance. That understandably seeped into discussions about the transfer window. Adam Ida, will a night go by on Clyde One Super Scoreboard during the window that we don't mention him? And other associated topics. Rangers fans, Motherwell fans, what did you take away from Hampden at the weekend? Do let us know. We'd like to hear from, what about you Kilmarnock fans? Where is it sort of going wrong at the start of this season? Any Bojan Miovski spokesman out there? Because what a great story that is. Aberdeen fans won't want to see the back of him, but an incredible fee. Looks like about £7 million in the end, heading to Girona. So get your thoughts in there. Anything else at all after a weekend like that? I'm sure we've missed something. We've got big European games this week. Transfers, whatever. You decide. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's a bit of an experiment, if you like, because if it is Roger Hanna, he starts on -2, he just wins all the time. We're getting a bit bored of it. So we'll see how it goes, -2. I hope he doesn't deliberately throw the game just to try and get his -2 removed. We'll see how it goes. Andy Halliday, to be honest, he could be in line for a minus at some point, but we'll leave him as is. One of them will take on Josh, who's on the line. How's it going, Josh?
Good, how are you?
Not bad. First time?
First time, yeah.
Good, I like it. Do okay usually when you play along at home?
Normally all right. Good. Not too bad.
I think that's the perfect level. You don't want to come in super confident, but don't waste our time and tell us that you're hopeless. Yeah. So that's bang on. My favourite caller of the season, still the guy last week that said he didn't even want to be on, but his wife made him do it.
See, how did you get on?
I lost.
Oh, there you go.
That's the sort of thing you've got to look forward to. Now you're a married man doing things that you don't really want to do. But anyway, enough about that. Let's go to the coin and see what you've got. Heads, it will be Andy Halliday. Tails, Roger Hanna. When are we going to get a shot at this -2?
Oh,
it's heads again.
Ooh.
This is outrageous.
You've not played yet?
No.
Andy Haldy's been busy. You never know. Could maybe take his eye off the ball. He is usually pretty good. We'll give him some greatest hits radio to listen to.
No problem.
Turn it up nice and loud. Josh, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you'd rather pass and move on, that is well within the rules, okay?
Yep.
Okay, your 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who scored an own goal for Rangers at the weekend?
Robin Proper.
Who's top of the Scottish Championship?
Falkirk.
Which manager gave James Forrest his Celtic debut?
Oh, Neil Lennon.
Name any player on two Scottish Premiership goals this season.
Luke McCowan.
Who made more appearances for Norwich, Todd Cantwell or Chris Sutton?
Chris Sutton.
Who was Dundee United manager the last time they won the Scottish Cup?
Oh Jesus, that could be anyone. Pass.
Name any club Jack Butland's been on loan to.
Man United.
Julian Alvarez has joined which Spanish side?
Atletico Madrid.
Okay. Let's bring back Andy. Can you hear us?
Yes.
I just can't wait to do minus two. No offence, I'm glad for you, you're here, Andy.
Some
but
smile on your face. What's that telling us, Roger?
Oh, the smile.
Ooh. Mischief.
Josh is a clever boy. Ready?
Josh, a player.
30 seconds, Andy. Your time starts now. Who scored an own goal for Rangers at the weekend?
Proper.
Who's top of the Scottish Championship?
Yeah.
Which manager gave James Forrest his Celtic debut?
Oh, pass.
Name any player on two Premiership goals this season?
Sidibe.
Who made more appearances for Norwich, Todd Cantwell or Chris Sutton?
Cantwell.
Who was the Dundee United manager last time they won the Scottish Cup?
Sturrock.
Name any club Jack Butland's been on loan to?
Manu.
Julian Alvarez has joined which Spanish
Atletico
side?
Madrid.
Who's the Scotland men's national team's next opponent?
Portugal.
Okay. Josh, have you done enough?
No, absolutely no chance.
So Josh, I wouldn't be saying no chance after a performance. Josh was good. Josh was really good. I just wonder if Andy's looking at me.
Do
you know what I hate about Monday nights, Josh? See, even though I'm talking, they two, they've their own wee little analysis. They take their headphones off and they whisper to each other and they compare notes.
No, it's
before
fine. I wanted one of the Andy. He's quite good anyway.
Exactly, that's it. Aim high. I thought you
did
well.
I just didn't guess a Celtic manager.
I know, but no idea what you were thinking there. Anyway, Robin Proper scored the own goal. You both got it, 1-1. Josh, did you say Ayr in the end? I think you did.
Falkirk / Ayr, yeah.
Nah, see, no use, I'm afraid. Andy goes 2-1 up. However, Neil Lennon gave James Forrest his debut. I think that is poor from you.
It was a bit silly, aye.
Josh equalises. Name any player on two Premiership goals this season. You had McGrath, Kuhn, McCowan, Smith, Sidibe. You both got it, so we're still level. Who has more Norwich appearances, Cantwell or Sutton? It's just a 50-50. It is Todd Cantwell, and it moves Andy in front. Nothing worse, Josh, when the 50-50s. It's just a guess. He does go one in front. I feel like taking points off for how wrong he was on this one. Peter Houston, 2010, the Dundee United manager. So still Andy Halliday one in front. You both got Jack Butland. You had the choice of loads: Cheltenham, Birmingham, Barnsley, Leeds, Derby, Man United. You both went, you both got it. You both got Julian Alvarez, Atletico Madrid. Josh is winning any other night, I reckon. But Andy Halliday just too good. And Portugal are the next opponents for Scotland, which means a 7-5 to Andy Halliday. A 5 would win it on a lot of nights. Josh, give it another go, will you? That was decent.
Yeah, 100%.
He was alright, wasn't he? You were giving
7-5 some game.
Do you know what I used to hate, Roger? You, in fact, you were probably one of these. You know, at school, right, you would come out your exams and people would, I know this is a long time ago for you, right, but cast your mind back, and there would always be someone in the class who'd go, oh, I was terrible there, oh, I just, and they would end up getting full marks or whatever. That was like Andy. See, during the news he's giving, oh, I could struggle here, I've been off it, I've no idea what's going on. And he goes and gets a 7. Absolutely shameful. What about,
you're not winning that minus 2?
No.
Surely.
No. Well, it wouldn't be.
I thought Sutton. I get the 50-50 wrong. And I thought Poland was the next game, not Portugal. Oh,
there you go. The 50,
I get Poland. So I would minus 7, two. Minus 2, 5. We've gone to a teaser.
The thing is, Josh, you have one over on them on the pitch on Saturday because you're a Rangers fan. But I can't even take you down that road because it's not a result I enjoyed. But anyway, what did you make of the game?
I actually had a game myself. I only caught the second half, but it was reasonably poor, the performance in the second half. I'm going tomorrow night, but I think we're still a couple players short in some key positions. Definitely two in the midfield, definitely one holding and then one going forward, because I don't think at the minute Tom Lawrence is giving enough. And then definitely out wide, we're just always, every year we're short there. Cortez is now injured and still relying on Scott Wright to start every game, and sadly he just doesn't give anything when he starts. He's good off the bench, but when he starts he doesn't give anything, so there's just lacking there. And then also defensively, maybe still one as well.
I'm starting to feel sorry for Scott Wright because it's not his fault in many ways. I take the point. It's his doing in terms of performance level, but he has become this symbol of amongst the Rangers fans of sort of not moving on and not progressing ultimately. And he's just like held up as the poster boy for it, which can't be an easy place to be in. They're all human beings and all that sort of stuff, as Andy well knows. But yeah, it's just kind of unavoidable, isn't it? It keeps coming up.
Yeah, and listen, we've heard it all summer. When he was picked at the first day of the season at Tynecastle, I think it was Scott Wright and Ben Davis who were being held up as, you know, a sign that Rangers hadn't particularly moved on at all.
See, just very quickly, it's not like us to get one wrong, and it just shows you should always run it past Roger Hanna. It is Poland who Scotland play next, but it would still be a 6-5 for Andy, so it doesn't change Roger. Anything. But Poland is the 3 days before, so there you go. We should know. I always trust Hanna, man.
So you won. You won in your minus two.
So there you are, Josh. You were only one away. Does that make you feel any better?
You won on his minus two.
Instead of Falkirk.
Exactly, and you knew that one anyway. Anyway, don't let me interrupt you. You were in full flow about Scott Wright, maybe.
Listen, as you say, it's not his fault that the manager keeps picking him. I do tend to agree that, you know, Rangers are probably a bit short in wide areas. Václav Černý, Rangers fans will hope, has solved the problem on the right. I still think they'd like to get somebody in on the left. Cortez, he doesn't seem to get a break, does he? You know, it's injury after injury for him on that side. Most of the opposite, Tom Lawrence has disappointed me in a couple of games so far this season. I think Rangers fans would be right to expect a bit more from him.
Back to last season.
Yeah, there's maybe a big performance to come from him tomorrow night. I don't know, but if Rangers are to challenge domestically this season, I tend to agree. I think three's being kind. I think they might need more than three.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem too long ago. I remember Scott Wright on Sky Sports News before he's moved to Turkey, and he felt as if that was it. He's out the door. It's been one that's sort of rumbled on for a while now, but he's obviously still here. He's still playing games. Roger touched on about Rangers wingers getting criticism for not having enough numbers. I think Scott Wright, for me, certainly feels under that bracket. I don't think he's showed enough end product when he's played. I think he's showed flashes, specifically like Josh says, coming off the bench. And then Ben Davies, another one. It feels as if he's sort of tipped to be heading out the door every single transfer window, but come first game of the season, he's playing.
Josh, is it the reality that you just wait to see what happens in Champions League qualifying? We're going to hear from Philippe Clement. Is that ultimately what it could mean for the finances? You just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think tomorrow, what is it, 4 odd million if we get through, and then I don't know the stuff about Cifuentes. Hopefully, if there's any truth to that, it could be some sort of money coming into the club, which we could put towards a couple of players, and then it's really a toss up between us and every 20. I think that's a close game, and Salzburg as well. It's a favourable draw any other year. I just think at the minute we're getting to the league, hopefully we've got that contingency plan in place that we can bring in a bit more quality, maybe Seema as well, if that occurs.
I can't let you go though. You said you missed the start of the game because you were playing, and now all your teammates are going to know that you came on and lost at Beat the Pundit, so you need to give your team a mention before you go.
I'll just play for St. Caddick's 21s, just 21s. It's just fun.
When are you training next?
Tuesday night.
Right, tomorrow, well, everybody and his team, make sure you remind them that he lost Andy Halliday on Beat the Pundit. But anyway, thanks to Josh.
Handy for me, the train just down the road for me. We can go and heckle him tomorrow night, Gordon.
You could have dropped the ball off as well if he'd won.
Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, thanks to Josh on the line, 01419511025. Let's hear those comments from Philippe Clement. Craig, the Kilmarnock fan, where are you? Because we were just about to try and speak to you, but you've disappeared off my screen. So Craig, if you're listening, give us a call back. Philippe Clement saying qualifying for the Champions League, to sort of state the obvious, would be important for the financial future.
It's not on schedule. I think it can faster things, make things faster. So it's not budgeted to go to the Champions League, and that's the best way, because some teams have done it in the past and they had really big financial problems out of that. So we cannot do that, clearly. So, of course, if you can go to the Champions League, it will give another budget. Only thing is that it will be the last hours of the transfer market at that moment. But it would be an important thing, maybe for now something, but for sure for the future windows for the club.
Well, what do you make of that? Give us a call on the usual number, just like Ian has done. Ian has... Oh, this is going to be a popular call. Andy, you and I will just sit back and leave Ian and Roger Hanna to talk this over. Take it away.
Must
Ian.
Be Tony Orlando's the subject, does it?
Take it away, Ian.
I'll take it away. No, I just wanted to phone up and just talk about Ayr United's start to the season. You know, under Brown, the things that he's been doing. I watched him against Kilmarnock, and they outfought them, outrun them, physically dominated them, and they've been doing it in every game. Then on Friday night against a really good Airdrie team, they never let them breathe from the first minute to the last, and never took their foot off the throttle. It was unbelievable. And I was talking to some people at Ayr, and they said that Scott Brown took 2 weeks holiday and said, I'll be back training on this day. Anyone wants to join me, join me. 90% of the squad turned up, and you can see it. They're faster, they're fitter. It's looking really good. I know it's only two games in, but it's been a joy.
Difficult to argue with. 7 goals scored, none conceded. They were absolutely terrific on Friday night. Anton Dow just picked up where he left off last season. You talk about the numbers of the Rangers wingers there. Young Jay Henderson on loan from Ross County, couple of goals, third generation Ayr United player. Gordon, I remember his dad Darren and his granddad Alec McInnespy played in the 70s for Ayr United, so young Jay knows what it's all about. But Scott Brown, and you know, backed by the chairman David Smith, a fantastic job they're doing. And in a championship with no big hitters, there's no Dundee or Dundee United, there's no Kilmarnock, there's no Hearts or Hibs, it's going to be wide open. So why not? Why can't they go up?
I think that result would have seen people sit up and take notice, Andy, because Airdrie are fancied, mm-hmm. and they get a lot of praise for what they're doing, rightly so. I'm not saying that all goes out the window, but really, really one-way traffic on Friday.
Yeah, I thought they were very, very impressive, but to be honest, I was just sort of writing down a couple there for the game that I watched on Friday. And if I seen a bottom six team in the SPL sign Scott McMahon, George Oakley, Jay Henderson, Harry Stone, who I knew really well from Hearts, and then you couple that with, you know, Jamie Murphy, who played, and Anton Dow's a couple of bodies at Rodgers, just means that's really, really good recruitment. So for me, I'm looking at the best 11 that obviously we've seen on Friday night there. Really, really impressive guys that have done really, really well in the leagues, whether it be the top flight or the championship. And it looks as if he's built an impressive squad there. And I thought they were excellent on Friday. You quite rightly pointed out. I think Airdrie, obviously off the back of a playoff run last year, I think anyone will sort of fancy them to be sort of there or thereabouts again this season. But Ayr certainly made short work of them on Friday night.
We, as a sort of footballing nation, Ian, are bound to pay attention to how Scott Brown's early managerial career goes, just because of the profile of the player and so on. What have you made of him so far?
Well, I honestly, when it was first announced, I wasn't really sure, you know, because of, you know, down at Fleetwood and stuff like that, and I thought he was, you know, too big a name and we would just be a stepping stone. But what I've heard and what I've spoken to, it's complete opposite. You know, the chairman is supporting him. We've had new investment. We've built the hub last year so we can have drinks before the game without going to the local bars. We've now built the new stand with all the corporate. And he's backing Brown, you know, going and getting George Oakley from Morton. He's a fantastic player at this level. And we've got him, we've got Anton signed up, and we're bringing in players and he's strengthening the squad. And they look, every one of them is playing for him. They're running through brick walls for him. I know it's only two games, but it's just been fantastic.
Well, Ian, I'm sure you'll be hoping it continues. Thank you very much for taking the time. 01419511025. The championship is looking, well, it's wide open every year, really. In the end, sometimes one of the bigger teams pulls away, but hopefully this season it's a fascinating one, Roger, because the stories are there already. You've got the Raith Rovers situation.
Yeah.
Peter Leaven, would that be the likely candidate as their next manager?
Yeah, I think he'll sit. He'll be favourite. He's got a decent job at Aberdeen and he's highly valued at Aberdeen by the football department. So if there was any dubiety, Aberdeen would be keen to keep him. But I'm quite sure equally, if Peter made it clearly wanted the job, then they would let him go. But I mean, as there's stories everywhere, Falkirk have started well, coming up with a very similar squad from last season. Dunfermline haven't started well. You know, Raith changed the manager, get a win over Thistle, who haven't started the way they would have wanted. Morton, a couple of 0-0 draws, haven't started the way they would have wanted. So there's going to be a lot of twists and turns in this league. There's a lot of derbies in this league. It's going to be really exciting, the championship.
If you want to agree or disagree with things you've heard so far, 0141 951 1025. If you want to move on to something different, what about Bojan Miovski? I feel like that might be one of the stories of the transfer window in Scotland, and it hasn't come from Celtic or Rangers. What do you know? Any Aberdeen fans out there or anyone else that's got thoughts on him, you could give us a call right now. We could look back on some of the other games from the weekend. Kilmarnock fans, are you starting to get a bit concerned, or is it just natural when you're trying to juggle European football? Give us a shout. 01419511025, and we'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night when Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna put their minds together on the full-time teaser and see if they can come up with the answers to the questions that you send in. And I like this because it's topical. What this means is that someone out there, Stephen to be precise, has gone out over the weekend and he's come up with something. It's relevant to this weekend. So Vaclav Černý scored on his competitive home debut for Rangers on Saturday. You know what's coming next. Can you name the 10 others that have done this since the 2015-16 season home competitive debut?
Jeez. For Rangers?
You would have done it away, did you not?
Yeah.
Easter Road. Yeah.
So who would have done home?
I watched that game in Spain, if you care. Just remember, the sun was shining. I thought, who's this Halliday character?
So, 10 Rangers players since 2015-16.
Who've scored on their home competitive debut. That like, is tough. Like Vaclav Černý. It is really tough.
James Tavernier.
That was away as well.
Oh, it was Easter Road, wasn't it?
But they can play away.
I guess. Yeah, but no, he's not one. It's quite tough, actually.
That is tough.
But I think if anyone can handle it, it's you two.
During the break.
Because some would have been your sort of rough era. The difficulty is, I think, most of them.
Oh, no, that was away.
Who?
I was going to say Ahmed Diallo, that was away.
That was away.
No,
but
County.
No. That's tough. What was it last year? Who was Rangers' first home game last year?
Danilo.
Nope.
I was going to say guesses, but I didn't want to just fling out guesses. But
the Servette game, European qualifier.
I can't even remember.
Yeah, these are going to be tough. You're going to try and think your way through them because some might be January signings. 16. Some might be.
Jermaine Defoe.
Yes. Well done.
Oh yeah.
Okay. You want another guess, or do you want to come back to it?
I certainly will need to come back to it. 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'd need to come back to it.
Okay.
I think last season did Cortesco.
No. Okay, we're going to get Craig the Kilmarnock fan in just a minute or two, but Russell has sneaked in before him in East Kilbride. How's it going, Russell?
Very well. Thanks, Gordon.
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
My thoughts tonight will be Yanis Hadji. I still think he's got a lot to offer Rangers. I really do. But putting aside, he scored a double there at the weekend. I know he was out loan before, and I don't know. I just got a soft spot for him. My question is really, where does the panel reckon his long term future lies?
Andy, do you want to take that one?
Well, it seems as if his long-term future's not at Rangers. I think it was Josh, the earlier caller, saying about a signing coming in the door to sort of compete with Tom Lawrence in that number 10 spot. And you do think if there's another natural 10 at the club. Currently, Yanis Hadji probably fills that bracket, but it seems as if it's too far gone. They obviously wanted him out the door last year. They went on loan to Alaves, never played the amount of games that was required. He's came back and he's just been straight back into the B team. So
I think that's right though. I mean, ultimately, Russell's point is Russell likes him and thinks he could do something.
I think when you see as well Rangers bench over the last couple of games, there's a couple of young players in there that's, if Rangers are needing a goal, you're not really expecting them to be the first ones that are off the bench to try and sort of facilitate that. So I also don't think it's right that if you're also trying to get rid of the player to publicly and showing that he's not even remotely involved in the first team, he's with the B team all the time. For me personally, if I'm a suitor out there with a want to buy Yanis Hadji, I think you've already devalued him by doing that. So I just think while he's at the football club, while he's registered with the football club, you have him training with the first team, you have him competing, seeing if he wants to be at the football club, and then obviously if he's available for the game tomorrow night in the cup game at the weekend, then you play him. But I can't see his long term future being at Rangers.
Is this where the sort of context or circumstances are important, Roger, because I'm always cautious. This is not about Yanis Hadji. I apply this to everyone. Players become so much better when they're not in the team, yeah. And fans start pining for them and thinking they can come in and make an impact. However, to contradict that, if I was to apply that to the case of Yanis Hadji, to then contradict it, I can see why Russell and others might think, but it's not like there are loads of good midfielders in front of him keeping him out. That, you know, he must at least be on a level that he could come in and compete there, no?
It's a long time since Yanis Hadji has contributed for Rangers. A lot of that's down to injury, Gordon. That's no criticism of the lad. I don't see Yanis Hadji's skill set necessarily translating into a Philippe Clement team. I would suggest that Yanis Hadji's stock remains reasonably high in the continent. I actually thought he might have been out of Rangers before now, but I think he will do. I think he'll be away before the window closes.
That disappoints you, Russell. You think, you know, the answer to Rangers' creative issues might be in the building?
As I said, you know, I think he's a very creative player. You know, I would have liked to have seen him do more for Rangers. Absolutely fantastic, you know, feedback from the pundits here, you know. I don't know. Again, it's a soft spot, but I posted this guy's dad on my wall when I was growing up. You know, kind of a thing. I want him to do good, you know, it's that kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, was it a hat-trick or a double at the weekend?
Hat-trick,
yeah. Did it usual
good goals as well.
Nowadays you have to analyse the social media output thereafter. What was it? Home is good, yeah. Was the caption on his Instagram. What does that mean? I don't know. I've seen people take it as some sort of sign that he is more committed to Rangers than people would have you believe. Is it because you had, like, it's almost like the Todd Cantwell situation's not similar, but they're the same area of the pitch. They're guys that are bombed out the team and people wondering if they should be contributing, or if they are going to leave, could it be handled differently? Are they similar in that regard?
Yeah, for me, I think one of the big ones is, you know, if they are to leave, it could be handled differently. I think Todd Cantwell's situation is a little bit different, because by all accounts it seems as if he's went to see Philippe Clement and says it doesn't want to be there, yeah. But, you know, for that Instagram post, like you're saying, it doesn't seem as if Yanis Hadji's had similar conversations.
I can't see a way back for either of them. They are undoubtedly talented players, but for very different reasons, their talents haven't flourished in this Rangers team. Cantwell and Clement, from very early in their relationship, they seemed incompatible. I think they both recognise that now. And if Rangers, the hardest bit may be Rangers finding a buyer or someone willing to take Cantwell on loan during this window. I don't think they'll have the same trouble with Hadji. I think they'll get somebody for Hadji.
Surprise you when Philippe Clement made the decision to go public with the fact that Todd Cantwell wanted away? I naively assumed that something was close anyway, because otherwise, as Andy said, you run the risk of advertising to everyone that you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But if you remember at the time, Rangers were just about to announce a European squad that he wasn't, sure, in. So yeah. I think the sort of the split, if you like, is going to become apparent, yeah, anyway.
Fair enough. Thanks to Russell, who is on the line, or was on the line, in 01419511025. Don't forget, that is the number. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. What have we got? Again, I keep thinking I'm about to speak to Craig, the Kilmarnock fan, and he keeps disappearing. We'll try him again in just a second. How are you faring on that teaser? It was 10 players since 2015-16 who've scored in their home competitive debut for Rangers, just like Václav Černý did, Dessers and Defoe.
Does it say who the teams are against?
Yes.
So the 15-16 was a League Cup, and the first away game was East Stirling. Was the first game against Peterhead?
Non-applicable. Doesn't matter.
Clinton Hill?
No.
He scored against Peterhead. I can't remember who that first home game was against then.
I think the thing that's maybe thrown you off with the 15-16 season is it's a January.
No, it doesn't help me.
Easy for me to say I've got the answer, but it was quite a... I don't know. He was signed right before the game in the January, and he came in and he scored. It was like quite a weird loan signing.
Canberry?
No. No.
That wasn't 15-16 either.
No, I'll leave it with you. I think
I've got one more.
Go on then.
Joe Aribo.
Yes, against St. Joseph's, yep, in July 2019. Okay, we'll leave that there for now. just while we're on the topic, I don't know if we will get any callers coming on. I've put the plea out, you Aberdeen fans, if you are out there, please step up to the plate. But if not, we'll bring it up ourselves. Bojan Miovski, Roger Hanna, what a great story that is.
Fantastic. And you have to doff your hat to Aberdeen. Jim Goodwin brought Bojan Miovski from the Hungarian League for £600,000. Just over 2 years later, they are selling him for about 11 times that sum to La Liga, to a team who will be playing in the Champions League this season, and for a club record fee. It is fantastic. Not so long ago, they sold Calvin Ramsey for over £4 million to Liverpool. Before that, they sold Scott McKenna, I think, for a decent sum to Nottingham Forest. They are doing very well in the player trading model department. And Jimmy Tillin looks as if he's progressing quite well, yeah, without even getting a ready-made replacement, because in Esther Sokler and Pap Guy, he seems to be getting more out the guys who are there already. But they're looking to spend the money. I think there's the winger coming in from HJK Helsinki for £800,000. They've had an offer accepted for Ibane Bowe, the Scotland under-21 centre-half from Fulham, although I think others have also had the same bid accepted. It's now down to the player. So for the £6.75 million it's brought in, I think Jimmy Tillin will see a chunk of it.
I love everything about it, Andy, just from a neutral perspective, because it's great money for Aberdeen. It's the type of fee that hopefully is sort of good for the league, if you like, in the kind of profile of it. It's also a brilliant footballing move for him. It's not like
incredible.
It's not like you found some daft club who's going to throw money, you know, at a player and give you this inflated fee. As Roger says, it's a Champions League club, third in La Liga last season. He's contributed so much to Aberdeen while he was there. Just everything about it just feels like it's worked out brilliantly.
Fantastic move. Also a club that's part of the City Group. No, it wouldn't surprise me if Bojan Miovski goes there, does pretty well again, and kicks on to another one of the big hitters. But it's amazing to see someone, obviously, you know, score 20 plus goals for Aberdeen over the last couple of seasons, go and pit his wits against the likes of, you know, Kylian Mbappe next year and Jude Bellingham and the likes. So it's a fantastic move from brilliant for Aberdeen, like you says, for MTK Budapest to make £6 million profit in just a couple of years is brilliant. Now, I actually do feel as if they've already got a couple of good strikers there already. Sockers started the season very well, looked good towards the end of last season, but wouldn't be surprised now that Jimmy Tillin gets a bit of a war chest for the last couple of weeks.
The emotional goodbye yesterday after the game against St Mirren, you know, all parties clearly just kind of agreeing it's the right move. What did you make of the game itself?
Well, they're going well, aren't they? You know, it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, the four games out in the League Cup, they're meant to win those four games, and it's only St Johnstone away, and then it's only St Mirren at home, and they were knackered after playing in Europe, but it's still six wins. I don't think any Aberdeen manager in history has started with six wins. They've now got Queen's Park at Pittodrie in the League Cup on Saturday. No disrespect to Callum Davidson, but you would expect Aberdeen to make it seven wins. And the thing that's impressed me most, Gordon, is just what we've touched on. You know, Esther Sokler, fringe player last season, hardly seen. He looks a half-decent player now. Pap Guy, sent away on loan last season. Took his goal well at the weekend. Vicente Bejuan, sent away on loan last season.
Scored in 2 years.
Took his goal really well. Shaden Morris, who, you know, was forgotten about, suddenly looks like a real player and he's contributing. So, for me, that says a lot about what Jimmy Tillin can bring to the party in terms of coaching and man management to get these guys motoring.
Are you expecting Aberdeen to be up there, Andy? I mean, most seasons you should, I guess, because of the size of the club, but you know, too often they don't manage it. Are you expecting it this year?
Yeah, I think so. But like you said, it's something we've said over the last couple of seasons that Aberdeen, with the squad they've got, the personnel they've got, the budget they've got, shouldn't be a bottom six club, but they have been over the last couple of seasons. And I think there does seem a different feel. I think even watching, you know, you look at the atmosphere and the sort of scenes at Pittodrie at the weekend, you know, for the players on the pitch, but obviously the crowd in the stands as well, it seems this is a right good feeling within the club. And like he says, I think they're going to go and strengthen again, and over the next couple of weeks they're bringing another couple of bodies in the door. So I do fancy a strong Aberdeen, which is good for the league this year.
Well, I was going to say, Roger, I think sort of bridging the financial gap to Glasgow's Big Two is a long way off. That's not the route I'm going down. But it was just last season Aberdeen got the guaranteed group stage football, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And did they say that brings in about 6 million? You go and sell Bojan Miovski for 7. If you can, a challenge to Aberdeen and Hibs and Hearts or whoever it may be, if you can sort of keep that's a quite a lot of money by Scottish football standards.
100%,
if you can semi-regularly do either or both of those things, like I say, that's not necessarily with a view to catching the big two, but really turning yourself into something.
And, yeah, and I think they'll look at these guys, this young winger they're bringing in from Finland for 800,000. That sounds like a big outlay for Aberdeen, and it probably is. It's probably in the top five all-time transfer spends, but they'll look to turn that round and hope that he can go for 4 or 5 or 6 in 2 or 3 years' time. You know, Bowett, if they get him from Fulham for $500,000, they'll maybe look to move him on for 2 and 2.5. So it's actually, you know, from a very gloomy season last season in the league for Aberdeen, because they got to a cup final and another cup semi-final. League-wise, if Aberdeen are in the bottom six, it's a gloomy season. Suddenly, things are beginning to look a lot brighter for them.
Okay, 01419511025 to join in. We can look back on the other games from yesterday. Kelly fans, what's happening at the start of the season? You want to go back to Celtic and Rangers? We're here for you. Any Motherwell fans want to share their Hampden experience? Whatever you want. Now's the time to call and we'll get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here, and there is still time to squeeze in a call if that's the way you want to spend your Monday night. So very quickly on this teaser sent in by Stephen, inspired by Václav Černý, can you name the other 10 players since 2015-16 who've scored on their competitive home debut for Rangers? That is tough. Dessers, Aribo, Defoe.
The 15-16 was Billy King, 1-0.
Yes, against Falkirk it was. Remember those days, jeez. Some names that you forget about. Any others?
The only one more is Shiojo.
Yes, against a name that would send shivers down the spine of Rangers fans.
Progress, mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Did Kemar Roof?
Kemar Roof, no. Okay, four to get. We'll try and get them before the end. Craig's a Kilmarnock fan. Craig, what's happening?
Evening, pal. I think I was going to make a point of it. Obviously, we're 5 games into the competitive season for Kilmarnock, but you include Europe. The worrying thing for me is this couple, obviously, we've conceded 11 goals and scored 3. Also, McInnes, his team selection, and I understand you've got to rotate due to the Thursday-Sunday schedule, which is understandable, but the one thing that sticks for me is Danny Armstrong, who last year obviously was arguably Kilmarnock's best player. There's been transfer speculation come in from down south. I believe it's Bolton that wanted him and Kilmarnock said no, but you can see the difference in him going from, even from the first European game, not necessarily he's not interested, but you can just tell his head's turned, and I don't understand why he won't drop him. He's dropped a lot of other players for the rotation, but with Armstrong, he just, for some reason, he won't drop him. When you've got the likes of Gary Mackay Stevenson on that bench, who didn't get a lot of game time last year due to whatever reasons, he's had a full pre-season, and he still doesn't get a game. I just don't understand why he sticks by Armstrong.
Certainly a surprise result, Roger. We gave St Johnstone credit. With that will come criticism to Kilmarnock, obviously.
He dropped Danny Armstrong at Celtic Park. He didn't start him last week. It's difficult. It's notoriously difficult for non-Old Firm sides to marry the demands of European football and domestic football. You talked about Aberdeen a minute ago, Gordon, being in the group stages in Europe. Probably cost Barry Robson his job. Season before, Hearts, group stages of European football, probably cost Robbie Nielsen his job. It is very, very hard. Derek's finding it just now. I think Stephen Robinson's probably finding it just now. You know, St Mirren, that great 4-1 against Valour, but, you know, over in Iceland, 0-0. They needed a last gasp controversial goal to get a home draw against Bran. They'll be up against it. Kelly didn't win at home to Cercle Brugge, lost in Belgium, didn't win at home to Tromso. They will find it difficult on Thursday night. So it's very difficult. We're trying to find answers to a problem that I'm not sure there are answers for. Kilmarnock only have a certain size of a squad. I don't think starting at Celtic Park, wedged between two European games, necessarily helped them at all. They've had injuries. They had Robbie Dees suspended. They've now got Joe Wright suspended. It's almost been the perfect storm of problems for Dennett McInnes. He could do with a big result in Norway on Thursday evening, but you get that big result, all it gives you is two more European games, two more Thursdays, two more league games, getting knocked back to a Sunday, and sort of exacerbates the problem. It really is a sort of double-edged sword for non-Old Firm teams qualifying for European football.
Is that the main factor, Craig, just trying to juggle that, find that balance?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I mean, obviously, the majority of the squad are still there that done so well last year. Obviously, we've brought in Dabba back, penalty, unfortunately, he's been injured. Bringing Stuart Finlay back and loan again is another good one. I know people have got their worries about him. McCrory, again, I think was a great signing. You can see he's still a bit nervous because he's not played a lot of first-team football, but I believe he's only going to get better. And like Roger saying earlier on about Aberdeen and the likes of that, turning Miowski into a 6-7-0 pound player, I believe Kilmarnock will do that with McCrory in the future. But again, as another one as well, I would possibly hope, I don't know if he will, and maybe Luke could still bring in one or two towards the end of the transfer window. Whether McInnes does, I would like to see another centre midfielder. I don't think William Donnelly, I don't think he's that good. And we'll see it, especially at the start of the season. He just seems to ping balls and hit and hope rather than actually look to see where it's going. But I think it's not nice to see a team win out of Europe, but I believe if we do go out of Europe, and when we go out of Europe, that's when we'll start settling down and hopefully the league form will start kicking on.
Yeah, Andy, it's one of those. I suppose we will never know until something changes with Europe, and Roger's right, it's definitely a challenge, but you just associate Kilmarnock with just being solid over the last couple of years. It's not to say they can't lose games, of course they can, and if you are dealing with the rigours of Europe, maybe your form's going to suffer, but it's probably the nature of the goals that they're conceding at the moment that is surprising everyone.
Yeah, especially the one that sort of sticks out to me was the Cercle Brugge away. That's not a sort of error you've seen for Dennett McInnes' Kilmarnock over the last year or so. And it's got to be said, I've watched their games in Europe. I thought they were decent. I thought they more than competed against Cercle Brugge, especially at home. And then again, playing Tromso last week at home, I don't see a team that Kilmarnock will go over there in fear going into this weekend. And I think you could see that with Dennett McInnes' post-match interview. He had that little bit of a battle cry where he said that Tromso feel as if the tie's already over. We'll see this weekend. But I think the more worrying has been the sort of first two domestic games. So, yeah, listen, Celtic Park's going to be a tough ask for anyone, especially with a couple of the injuries that Kilmarnock had. They had the likes of Brad Lyons playing right back. But that game at the weekend against St Johnstone there, yes, they've just dealt with the sort of fixture on the Thursday, but certainly thought they were going to be a lot more competitive than they were.
Yeah, I don't know, Roger, what the transfers will look like. Dennett McInnes was clearly deliberately trying to keep continuity, keep a successful team together, brought Corey and Dabba back, just was looking, I think, mostly at one or two more defenders. That's not to say they definitely won't do another piece of business, but it'll be a big couple of weeks if they decide to try and recruit as Craig hopes.
Yeah, Derek has, he likes that squad he's pulled together, hence, as Craig said, Finlay's come back. As you said, Corey and Dabba's come back. He wanted to keep together the sort of nucleus of those who got him into Europe in the first place. But the squad is a wee bit lighter. Kevin Van Veen, Greg Stewart, they were there at the tail end of last season. They're not there anymore. There are areas, Andy made the point, Brad Lyons at right back. Because Derek has often played a three with Armstrong and Kennedy as wing backs, he has shortened the sort of full-back area. He's brought in young Ollie Bainbridge from Sunderland on the left-hand side, probably looking for somebody over there on that right-hand side. Bobby Wales scored the goal against Tromso to get the 2-2. Innes Cameron started at the weekend. They don't have a lot of experience, a lot of first-team football, either of them, between them. So Vassell and Watkins could probably do with a bit more experience back up there as well. Craig says a central midfielder. I always thought Brad Lynch and David Watson might evolve into the sort of the midfield pairing there. That might happen yet, but listen, I think McCrory is a good signing. I agree with that.
Thanks to Craig. Hopefully we'll catch up soon. We'll see how those transfers go in the coming weeks. Craig, we're almost out of time. Any more on the teaser?
Did I say Jamie Murphy?
No, nope, don't bother.
No, I was just thinking when Andy said Ojo, Ovio Jaria?
Nope.
Balance of probabilities. Morelos?
No. Nah, the slower start, didn't he? Didn't really establish himself straight away.
Mentioned the two of them earlier on. Todd Cantwell?
No.
Giannis Hagi?
No.
There's a few I'm thinking maybe scored away.
I can think of a couple.
Just quickly,
Graham Dorans.
For anyone who's missed it, that was Firth Park, wasn't it? Yeah. For anyone who is wondering, it's 10 players who scored on their home competitive debut for Rangers, like Cherney did, since 15-16. So Billy King, Jermaine Defoe, Joe Aribo, Shea Ojo, Cyril Dessers. Craig's team, Kilmarnock, August 2022. Striker, no longer there. Good goal return, actually.
Cholak.
Yep.
Oh, aye. Okay.
Andy, your team around that time must have signed in the summer of 2017, so heading into the 17-18 season. Dunfermline was his home competitive debut.
That was, I wasn't there.
Oh, you in Siberia at that point.
Oh, yep. Free kick. Bruno Alves.
Bruno Alves.
Oh, goodness me.
Yep. Two more, really tough, because one is not a signing.
Oh, is it Alex Lowry?
It is.
I was thinking, still an Albion. I was thinking of that. I wasn't sure if that was his debut, though.
Where were you in September 19? Had you been?
I'd have still been there.
Shown the door yet? No, still there. September, so he must have been a bit of a later signing, or it was just his home debut against Livy.
Livy?
Was it Kyle Lafferty second time around? No.
September, that's some debut. That must have been injured.
Here's the clue I'll give you. You'll get it straight away because it's tailor-made to you. You always say this guy was unbelievable in training.
Brandon Barker.
But not so good in games. Brandon Barker.
One to go, no?
I never said no so good in games. That's poor, that.
No, you know,
that.
No, as in, like,
I know, like a
superstar in training, couldn't quite superstar get into the first team. No, that's you.
I thought I'd laid nine. Who have I missed?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Did you put Lowry
there? There's only 9 on the list, even though the question says 10. Brilliant.
That's no, but Cherney like. Was the 10.
Maybe that's what it is. Nah, good save. I don't think so. We're back tomorrow on a huge night of European action for Rangers. Make sure you join us from 6. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Roger. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.